The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
It is indeed the second hour of the show, and we call it Our Africa, a time dedicated to celebrating the music of Africans by Africans, including world musicians that are inspired by the sound of our continent. And in this hour, we gather around these voices as they tell us these tales of their experiences. And this Sunday, I want us to take a moment to remember a son of the soil. This past April, we learned the passing of composer and bassist Gerald Mac McKenzie, who was the founder of the group The Genuines and also a pioneer in the genre of the sound that we know today as Guma from the Western Cape. And we are joined on the line by Leslie Javan, who is a musician, South African musician, and grew up between the Namaqualand on the West Coast and the Western Cape. A songwriter who has written songs for Valiant Swart, Karen Zoid, Nick Turner, and Zolani Mahola of Freshly Ground. Leslie joins us this morning, you know, to reflect on the life and times of Gerald Mac McKenzie. Bro, Les, hello. And welcome to Kofifi FM 97.2.
Yeah, how's it, man?
And thank you for joining us. You know, the story of Mac McKenzie began on the 27th of October in 1951, and he went on to become a draftsman. But we know him as a musician who performed covers from artists in the genres of jazz and soul music, and then went on to have an incredible solo career, including being a founding member of the band The Genuines in 1985. Les, take us back to those days.
Yeah, it was the days of apartheid, you know. So there was the conscription times, there was all kinds of things, you know. The Genuines was one of those bands that came out of that era. And they wrote music against apartheid, you know, the resistance music, you know. And the sound of the music that Mac wrote, Mac and Hilton, they were the driving force in the band, you know, was based around Guma music, which is the Cape traditional styles, music style, and jazz and rock and punk, you know. Mac used to say that they were the first black punk rock band in South Africa, you know, and they probably were, because there were nobody else. I can't remember. I can't think of anybody else. But so it was basically that, you know.
Yeah, and musician, you know, Hilton Schilder and Mac, of course, also formed the collective, the Guma Captains of Cape Town. And they went on to release a project called Healing Destinations. But I want us to talk more about the sound that is Guma and how Mac played an important role, you know, in the definition, maybe, of the genre.
Yeah, Guma music, when we look at local music and, you know, when we look at local culture, it's always good to see it as like a port. Sport music, you know, because we had people from all over the world coming, docking in Cape Town. All the sailors would come off, you know, they would do their thing there, and they would bring their music with. So we had different kinds of music, you know, like Guma is similar to what we have in South America, like your sambas and those kind of style. You get those styles of music all around the world, you know. And Guma is that music that happened in South Africa, coming from Cape Town, you know. In Durban, there's a slightly different thing, more with the Indian influence, you know, as opposed to Cape Town. And in Cape Town, because of the port, we had people from Malaysia, from Indonesia, from Europe, from America, the minstrels from America, people from the rest of Africa, you know. And what happened was in Cape Town at the time, you know, in the Western Cape, you had the Khoi people with their style of music, you know, mainly the Kochukwa tribe, you know, they were the biggest tribe. And the influences of the other tribes as well. So a lot of those music, you know, infused with this music. So you have indigenous music infused with all kinds of other stuff, you know. That is why if you look at, for instance, Boere music, you know, you find that there's stuff like Vastrap, you know, there's different styles, you know. It's basically different styles of dances, almost like in baroque music.
Yeah,
you know, And in his later life, Mack actually used that in writing classical music, you know. I do the same thing as a composer, you know. So yeah. We have like different dances, you know, in classical music, in Baroque music, you start off a suite with a prelude, and there's allemande and a courant, and there's these different styles, dances, and then you end up with a gigue, you know, like a finale almost. You know?
Yeah.
And that's exactly how Mack shaped the orchestra, the Gumma orchestra, you know. And the same way I write as well, the same way everybody else write, you know.
Yes.
And so Gumma in name, you know, is basically a culture. It's not just a music style. You know, a lot of people confuse Gumma with it's Xhosa music. You know, Xhosa is part of Gumma.
Yes.
And that is one aspect of Gumma. It's the food that we eat, the way we speak, you know, all of it. Now, in the 70s, I grew up with that, you know, knowing that, with that knowledge, you know. We grew up with that knowledge, you know.
Kofifi FM, we are chatting to musician Leslie Javan this Sunday, and he is reflecting on the life and times of the late Gerald Mack McKenzie, who transitioned this past April. And for our Africa today, you know, Mack was a bassist and a musician from Cape Town, a pioneer in the Gumma sound, which perhaps it is more likely that the word, in fact, has strong connections to Ngoma, a term referring to spiritual rituals and healing practices across many societies on the African continent, including, you know, street bands, choral music, vernacular partner dances such as Sticky Dry, and the yearly, you know, carnival season, as our guest has just elaborated. Now, Liz, you knew Mack in the last 12 years of his life and often interacted with him, you know, for the most part. Tell us about those days and how you will remember him, and the impact, I guess, that he's had in your life.
Yeah, Mack was, look, the thing is, the last 12 years of our lives together was quite a story, you know. I met him when I was about 16, 17 years old, through his dad, Uncle Sammy, you know. And I went with our neighbor, who had a long arm jazz band, you know, Charles Isaacs. I went with him to a rehearsal in Elsie's River years ago. I was about 17, I think, 16. And there I met Uncle Sammy, and Uncle Sammy introduced me eventually to his son, Gerald, who was Mack, you know. And so I met him back in those days. And over the years, you know, we spent quite a bit of time together, you know, in and out. And especially around the late 90s, I started a band called Gramadulas with late Alex van Heerden. And Alex played in Mack's band as well. So we were all playing with this band and that band. You know, we were interplaying with different bands. And Alex and I did a lot of research into rural music and stuff. So we, and our band Ramadulas, we fused Buddha music with jazz, with Guma, with pretty much the same as what the Genuines did before us, you know. But we weren't that raucous. We were a bit more reserved, but a bit heavy on the metal, you know. I did a lot of metal stuff on the guitar, and then that stuff never got released, by the way. The stuff that got released was more the Afrikaans thing, because, you know, record companies like to shape the artists and the bands and what. So that thing didn't work out so well for us. But those who saw us live, you know, experienced that sound. And in the late 90s and 2000s, you know, I spent a lot of time with Mac back in the days. That's the time when he started changing again. He was like a rabbit, you know. He couldn't sit still. So the maverick that he was, you know. So he was always chopping and changing, you know. And he bought the synthesizer and he wanted to. He told me he's gonna write for orchestra now next. You know, everybody laughed at him, you know, but I knew he was serious. And eventually started writing, you know, and I stayed with him actually for that time. I stayed with him for about, I think, a month or two, sleeping on the couch there, you know. And it was back in the days when we used to do drugs, you know, and lots of alcohol. And so it was quite hectic days, you know.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, you know, the last 12 years, you know, of our lives, you know, was quite reserved, actually, more into classical, because I composed music for TV and film, you know, and theater productions. Mac, the last 15 years of his life, you know, he composed for the Guma Orchestra, you know, like with lots of instruments, and they flew to Basel, to Switzerland, to Copenhagen, different countries, you know, and performed. And he was a mentor in that way, because I would sit down with him and we would discuss the sonata form, you know, or the symphony form, or whatever, you know.
Yes.
And we would look at old classical music, Stravinsky, Bach, Elizabethan period music, looking at Duke Ellington, at Miles Davis, you know, different composers, you know, how they would interpret the stories of their time. You know, the music of that time, the culture of that time, you know, and how are we doing that? You know, how are we doing it differently, you know, or what, you know? And looking at, like, for instance, if I can give an example, like chords, for instance, how do you use a chord? You know, in pop music, you have this 1-4-5 chord progression, or 1-6-4-5 chord progression, you know. For those who don't know what I'm saying, they are basically in the key, there's basically seven notes, you know, so that's the numbers that I'm quoting here. So those numbers, if the one is C, C is the first one, and the fourth one will be F, you know, stuff like that. And but in jazz or in Guma, when we reinterpret that, you know, we don't go all the way into a modal thing that which is more jazz, you know. We'll be right back.
as we wrap up, you know, our conversation this Sunday, how would you like the world, perhaps, to remember Mac McKenzie?
He was a family man. His son actually came out from Nederland, you know, he had a son in Nederland, you know, came out just before he died, Stephen. And and so he was big on family, you know, on his children, his grandchildren. One of the things about Mac, you know, apart from being everybody's mentor and teacher, you know, he was one of those guys. If you sit around and you talk to him about me, and you say, "Yeah, Les is this and Les is that," he will stop you and say, "No, no, no, we don't do that here. You can do that in your head at home, you know, or go talk to somebody else on the street, you know." So he was that guy. He didn't want to talk ill of people and things like that. And it's always like, in a major mode, you know, like helping people out, you know, and assisting where he can, you know, very good heart, very big heart, actually. You know, when he steps into a room, everybody knew Mac was in the room, even if you didn't know him, you know. So that is how I would like to remember him, as a friend, as a mentor, guy with a big heart, you know, always helping people. You know, so many people slept on the couches there at their house, you know, with Mom Mac, his mom, making food for everybody. You know, the house was there for everybody to come through. So he learned from his mom and his dad, you know, that and his brother Robert, everybody, you know, we would meander through the house, you know, we would just pop in for like a week or stay over and then come back later in the year again and stay over another week. And there was never complaint. There was never rent. There was never nothing, none of that, you know. He was just there to assist, you know, where he can, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's reflected in his music, actually. His music is very complicated. But the way, if you analyze his music and you look at how he wrote and how he interpreted the culture, because that's basically all we can do as composers and songwriters, you know. We are the mirror image, you know, and we are the reporters, you know. We don't create our own thing, you know. We look at what the world around us is doing, and then we reflect that, you know. So, wow. And it's reflected there in his work, you know. You can see it there in his work, you know. It's amazing stuff, you know. I mean, his music is going to stand for a long time, you know. It's being curated in Switzerland at... the sad part, actually, is there's not one South African university who's curating his work, you know. The Swiss are curating his work at a university in Switzerland, you know, because that's where he played a lot and he worked with orchestras over there, orchestral members over there, you know. South Africa is a bit slow, you know, on arts and culture. They don't support us, you know, as far as... composers and I mean other people as well, but I'm still thinking of composers and songwriters, you know. We don't get that support that the Europeans and people overseas get.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he was a groot geest, you know, a great guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And well, thank you again, you know, for joining us today and for reflecting on one of the most important figures in South African music and for helping us, you know, preserve his memory for many years to come. We really appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to having you come back, I think, you know, to talk more about the history of music of the Capes, you know, and the coast, in fact, South African music history, you know, for Heritage Month, you know, a topic that certainly needs us to explore even further.
Yes, no, definitely.
Absolutely. He is, you know, Leslie Javan, a musician and songwriter. Of course, he joined us for Our Africa this Sunday as we remembered Gerald Mac McKenzie on The KJazz Show.